to the Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge news program. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
It's January 5th, and Mr. and Mrs. America.
And that's Lou and me.
Are ready, thanks to all of you great listeners, to report our New Year's News Blitz, Part 1. We pray you had a very blessed Christmas, blessed by our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. If you internet listeners, go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and look right near the beginning of the site. After our Mr. and Mrs. America portraits, you'll see a Christmas photo of Elizabeth and one of me holding a festive wreath. Just below is the new poem Elizabeth wrote with its hope for Christian renewal in 2023.
And Lou, we have to interject that it looks as though the evil is not going to stop, so we will need the omnipotence of Jesus Christ. We will need him to help us. There are these glimmers coming out that there are preparations for war, bigger war with Russia. That's a terrible, terrible thing that we must pray against. And there are other things that have shocked us to the core. This is really an emergency broadcast tonight, a four-star emergency broadcast, because on December 13th, we had Lauren Witzke reporting in to Stu Peters on the Stu Peters program, and she was telling us about the precedent of Event 201 that was held at Johns Hopkins before the COVID pandemic occurred. And we know that Bill Gates was part of that, and all of that became a somewhat changed reality. That preparation, that plandemic drill, well, it looks as though Johns Hopkins and Bill Gates and company have had another drill. This drill is what the Illuminati calls their moral code, to have to tell us plebeians, us humble mortals of the world, that the ones they didn't kill off with the bioweapon, the COVID shots, it's their duty, morally, to tell us that they're going to try to kill us again. This is their moral duty. Lou, we saw this before 9/11. There was that movie, The Lone Gunman, about planes hitting the towers. So
yes,
we know this is something we have to take seriously. So actually, what this drill was, it was something that would specifically target children. How gruesome is that, Lou?
It's incredibly gruesome. The weakest individuals on the face of the earth they're going after.
The most innocent.
The most innocent.
Satan wants that ritual sacrifice with his horrible, fiery, anguished pit of hell coming to earth. So at any rate, this would be some kind of a virus, no doubt, that would target children, and they expected 15 million, I believe it was, children to perish. So, also part of this, there were some sound clips from it, and they talked about the need to have better forces, you know, ready, pandemic forces. And you can picture coming neighborhood to neighborhood. You can picture what this means, these response teams. So we're putting out the warning that they actually gave the year, Lou, it was 2025. So all of you out there, I feel the Lord is telling us to tell you, prepare, prepare, prepare. Have your food stocked. Think about things. Prepare, prepare, prepare. We weren't going to get into something like this, but you know how God sometimes makes things happen, and you find something sort of by accident. There are no accidents. You know, as we were there preparing this afternoon for the program, we heard the Eroica again, our theme song, Beethoven's Third Symphony. There are no accidents. And you know, sometimes when Satan does things to thwart God, God then just trumps him. We had a listener write to us today, a wonderful listener, that doctor from Pennsylvania, who is helping us faithfully. Please keep his health in your prayers, and we must emphasize to him he needs to drink distilled water if he can, and eat organic foods. he must take care of his health that way. Take B12. Of course, he probably knows that. But these things are so important to all of us. But anyway, he wondered why we did a repeat of the December 22nd program on December 29th. Well, that was because we did that for the bedrock of our program, the shortwave listeners, all of you who are listening to us on shortwave, because that night, December 22nd, one quarter of our program was ruined, and we feel certain that WWCR will probably give us a partial credit or a full credit because they're really wonderful about this. But we had the late brother Stair talking in his inimitable way, which isn't quiet. And that was surrounding Lou when he was trying to talk, and then me. What were we talking about? Why, we were talking about the COVID shots and a very large study of how they may be linked to prion degenerative brain disease. Satan didn't want you to know about this, because have you heard this anywhere else? Oh, no. Lately, what you're going to hear is a lot of people in the so-called Patriot Movement stabbing each other. Two guys trying to stab Dr. Jane Ruby. Now, that's not literally, but trying to tear her apart, tear apart the story about Richard Hirschman finding the clots. You know, just, we don't really know at this point, Lou and I, whether that's true or not true about the clots, because there is always this counter move to just stir up things and make you then doubt everything. But Lou, he, careful researcher that he is, what did you tell me about the UK, an article we had?
We had an article by a UK, I believe it was a funeral director, who had confirmed everything that had been said about these so-called clots.
By Hirschman. He found them. So we tend to think that Dr. Jane Ruby is on the ball about this. We might find later, because we have heard she was a White House doctor, that perhaps not everything is as it is. The same with Mike Adams. Perhaps not everything is as it is. However, we do have to look at a track record for Mike Adams that as long ago as 2010 and 2011, we have articles from that time, he was sounding the alarm about Monsanto and things that would be part of the depopulation plan to kill all of us. So, you know, you must keep your eyes open. You must keep your ears open. Another listener wrote to us, or actually two of them wrote for us to pray for someone who has another program, and that we should hear this program. And at this time, we're not going to name the program. But the person apparently is undergoing chemotherapy and is very, very ill. That person invited Lou and me to come on his program. And we thought, gee, it sounds so good, and he sounded so robustly Christian, and we were having a talk with him. But again, listeners, I'm telling you, be alert. The Lord is going to lead you if you give your life to him and ask him every day, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to some friends and tell them about Divided Kingdom Radio, that they should go there and look at the archives, listen to the programs, read the essays on COVID? Do you think you ought to do that so the program will grow? So at any rate, we were there in this conversation with this bigger radio figure. We're not sure how many listeners he has. But we were talking along, and somehow the topic of 5G came up. And we were startled out of our boots to hear him say that because he's an engineer and he knows everything, there's no harm in 5G. What about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and all of his people and all of their work and all of their research? What about all the other research that has been done on the harm of 5G? I couldn't believe my ears. Could you, Lou?
No, I couldn't.
No. And so we asked again. We wanted to make certain. And when we made certain, it was very clear. I said, I'm sorry, I guess we just can't come on your program because we have very different viewpoints. And at that point, we had told him about being almost $70,000 in credit card debt from our radio. And this is how he concluded the call. He says, a curse will be on you as long, you will stay in debt as long as you don't tell the truth. And, well, we said, well, God bless you and goodbye. Now, it looks as though God has blessed us, doesn't it, listeners? We have been blessed with an unusual house sale. We're not completely out of debt, but we, if we are careful and we follow the Lord, he will bring us all the way out of debt eventually. We believe that. And he has encouraged your hearts and souls to support this program because you know we are trying to tell the truth. We may not be flawless. No human being is. But we knew that something was very wrong. 5G is not harmless. So going on, we're telling you this long introduction to tell you that bad things are lying in wait, but we can pray. We're like a little church here on the Divided Kingdom radio program, and truthfully, we get most of our responses from the shortwave listeners. That's why we say you're the bedrock. You're the bedrock to pray. We're telling you, there are some widows who have written, please keep doing what you're doing. Clarence writes us, please keep doing what you're doing. There's a need for the truth. There's a need to know that we are a community that can pray for God to foil this plan to kill 15 million children, this plan to bring us into World War III. So with that, I now go to my poem of hope, and it is Christmas Hope Revealed. Our prayer for every one of you, blessings from the Savior anew. Satan cannot deter the King, Jesus, our redeeming Savior. Let the bells of Christmas ring. For divided kingdom people, God's remnant you surely are. Angels softly sing from afar. Awe awaits in a child's heart. Repent, America, for a new start. Shine on, O eternal star.
Though Satan's war on God is escalating and evil is rampant, Edward Zoll, talking on the Stu Peters Show to Lauren Witzke, remarked that it is still better in America than many other places in the world.
And yes, Lou, that was a rather unforgettable vignette that Edward Zoll told to Lauren. In fact, she was sort of shaken. He talked about, it was probably in a shopping center, something like that. Somebody started to back up their vehicle, and they actually ran over a grandparent and a small toddler. And Lauren thought, oh my goodness, what is this, a Christmas story? He says, don't give up yet. And this just showed the hearts and souls of many Americans where Christ is still there. They went rushing forward, and someone even found some kind of special equipment that would lift the car, I guess, off the grandparent and the child. And they lived, and they were doing well. And Edward went on to say that he's seen this personally in Asia, that if someone is sick or they're hurt, something happens, people just turn their back and walk on. Now, the difference is the heart of Jesus Christ living still in many, many Americans. So we just heard a late Christmas card from friends who helped me bring out my books. America Attacked, you know, Patriots Warning 1, and then the second book, Chaos and Chemtrails. We thought maybe these people, something had happened to them. Well, something had. They went to visit the husband's mother in Pennsylvania, and they got COVID. So that's another warning to you. Don't go into a lot of crowds if you're over 50, 60 without a little protection, without being a little careful. And so, you know, they were saying they had stayed away from the vaccines, and that is a very good thing. And what they said at the end of their letter was, we haven't given up on America yet, that God may have something yet for America to do. And that's what we hope and pray.
Tonight's New Year's News Blitz covers the two opposing forces, Satan's horrors and God's people opposing them. First, some encouragement from WorldNet Daily. Stunner. 2,500 people attend story time with Christian author rejected by libraries. Author Kirk Cameron is introducing his new book, As You Grow. This is by Bob Unger, again from WorldNet Daily, December 30th. Libraries, both school and public, across the nation for years now have been promoting various drag queen story hours with performers from that industry who prance for children, encourage them to explore sexual alternatives, and sometimes read them LGBT books. Into that atmosphere, Christian actor and author Kirk Cameron stepped. He asked for similar accommodations for reading of his book, As You Grow, and was rejected out of hand by dozens of institutions, with officials often telling him bluntly that they didn't agree with his conservative message and wouldn't allow it. But finally, a library or two agreed, and the stunner was that 2,500 people showed up for Cameron's reading at the Indianapolis Public Library this week, more than the attendance at any other event the library has held. Fox News says Cameron originally was denied or ignored by more than 50 libraries. Then, when the Indianapolis institution finally agreed to an event, publisher Brave Books shared video and images of the event on social media and with Fox News Digital. The report said, quote, numerous postings show the overflow crowds that greeted Cameron on Thursday. They go on to say, or I should say Cameron himself says in a statement, yesterday a brush fire of faith, family, and freedom ignited inside the Indianapolis Public Library. It's in Scottsdale, New York today, Friday, and it's moving across America, awakening the sleeping giant of the family of faith, unquote. Cameron, former Growing Pains TV show star, said, the land of the free depends on the homes of the brave. He previously had told Fox, one of the things I love about our country is its commitment to the sharing of knowledge and the free expression of ideas. That is why I'm excited to bring Brave Book Story Hour to public libraries across the country, unquote. WorldNet Daily reported that Cameron had declared victory in his pursuit of story hours when several libraries agreed to his request to use their facilities. He had explained earlier that dozens of libraries, many already promoting drag queen story times for children, had refused him permission to hold a story time about his new faith-based kids book, As You Grow. When the events were scheduled, he said, I'm happy that the two libraries changed their decision and will allow my voice to be heard and my book to be read. I hope that this victory acts as a source of courage for Christians and conservatives across the country to be brave and not back down, making sure that we are the salt of the earth and the light in the darkness, unquote. He said his book is biblical wisdom through the seasons of life.
Biblical wisdom through the seasons of life. How different the book of Kirk Cameron is from the next. The Gateway Pundit, published December 31st, 2022 by Cassandra Fairbanks. Netflix's Wednesday creators say they are open to making her a lesbian. The creators of Netflix's hit show, Wednesday, have revealed that they are, quote, open to making her character a lesbian. Some fans online have been pushing for Wednesday to end up with her best friend and roommate, Enid Sinclair, despite the girls just having a normal teenage friendship. Bounding Into Comics noted that, quote, the series does not feature any explicit hint or tease of romantic feelings between Wednesday and Enid, instead showing them direct their affections exclusively towards the series' male cast. Rather, this, quote, ship between the two is entirely predicated upon certain fans' overly dramatic reading of the girls' average friendship, the report added. And I believe there was an error there. I think that should have said shift instead of ship in the typing. The show's creators, Al Goo and Miles Millar, addressed the discussion during an interview with The Hollywood Reporter. Asked by the website about what is coming next for the characters, Goo, and I'm not sure about his name, it's G-O-U-G-H, said, quote, we want to sort of explore and sort of complicate all of those relationships going forward. The school was closed when they left, which gave us the most possibilities for season two, and I think that's something that we're excited to explore, Goo stated. For us, the show also is really about this female friendship, with Wednesday and Enid really being at the center of that. The Hollywood Reporter then asked about a possible romantic relationship between the two girls. Some users online are even hoping that Enid and Wednesday are endgame. Were you going for that at all at any point? or did you want to solely focus on their friendship? Millar responded that, quote, sometimes characters reveal themselves, end of quote. Quote, as Al said, this idea of sisterhood is key to the show, before adding, we're not going to discount anything. And obviously, sometimes characters reveal themselves, which is the fun thing we love about television, that it's an organic journey.
Once more, the Jesuit backdoor government's authority overreach. This time, it's not keeping landlords from evicting renters, as during the pandemic. Here's the newest. It's academic meddling. From National File, CDC instructs school districts to promote LGBT inclusivity. And that little last two words are in quotes. This is by Colin McHugh, December 29th, 2022. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, is instructing school administrators to adopt a self-assessment that will measure how inclusive their district is for the LGBT community. And here's a quote. School administrators, our LGBTQ inclusivity self-assessment tool can help you quickly gauge inclusivity at your school. See your score today and learn ways to increase inclusivity. The CDC's Division of Adolescent and School Health, Dash, said in a tweet this past Tuesday, December 27th. The tweet then linked to a handbook titled LGBTQ Inclusivity in Schools, a Self-Assessment Tool, unquote. The handbook defines inclusiveness as, quote, the presence of clear policies or practices that address the needs of LGBTQ students who might otherwise be excluded or marginalized due to factors such as sexual orientation and gender identity / expression, unquote. Under the guidelines, teachers, school staff, and administrators are instructed to measure their commitment to inclusivity through a number of assessments. They are then instructed to determine whether they fall into one of three categories. First, mostly A's, who are classified as exceptionally inclusive. Then mostly B's, who are seen as on the right path to maximum inclusivity. And finally, mostly C's, which describes educators and staff who are not adequately inclusive. In one example, test takers who answer that gender and sexual orientation is always unique and can be, quote, expressed on a continuum, unquote, receive an A rating under the handbook's criteria. Those who do not agree with that statement are given a C rating. I should read that statement again. Test takers who answer that gender, let me say that again. Test takers who answer that gender and sexual orientation is always unique and can be experienced on a continuum. That's the statement that gets the A's or the C's. For administrators, those who assure that school events such as homecoming and pep rallies include both gender-conforming and non-gender-conforming couples are given an A rating, as are those who provide bathrooms and locker rooms where students are free to pick based on the gender identity of their choosing. As for teachers, those who display LGBT-themed decorations, such as pride flags in their classrooms, receive an A rating. Such ratings are also doled out to teachers who, quote, present information on all types of sex, not centering on penis-vagina penetrative sex, unquote, and describe the human anatomy and physiology as separate from gender using terms like, quote, body with a penis, unquote, the Epoch Times reported. The CDC's tweet has generated backlash among a number of parental rights in education activists and Republican politicians. And here we have a quote. The Biden CDC is a radical left-wing agency that pushes politics instead of science. The CDC should not be using your tax dollars to tell children that they can, quote-unquote, change their gender. That was a quote from U.S. Representative Mary Miller, Republican of Illinois. And she wrote that in a tweet. She also said, I will oppose all funding for Biden's agenda to surgically and chemically castrate young children.
Unquote. Hooray for her.
Yes.
One single
good
voice
for her.
There.
Then another quote from Nikki Neely, founder and president of Parents Defending Education. She said, quote, shocking that the same agency that worked hand in glove with the unions to keep schools closed is now pushing this controversial guidance, unquote. A number of public school districts across the nation have adopted similar guidelines, many of which instruct teachers to keep their students, quote, gender identity, unquote, a secret from parents, if necessary.
Ordo ab Cao, Lou.
That is so true.
The Jesuits are part of it. That's no question about it.
Yes.
And now, listeners, recently we gave you information on very questionable ingredients in Beyond Meat, and that's that big Bill Gates creation. And we also warned you to avoid farm-raised fish with all of the chemicals that are in it, and to avoid aspartame, the neurotoxin that is hidden by the terminology, rather, flavor or natural flavor. It can include aspartame in a subterranean way, you know, in thousands of foods. And I was trying to think of the lady who talked to Dr. Stan about it, Betty. I can't think of her name right now. Lou, can you?
No, maybe it'll come to me.
It may come to us. Yes, she had done extensive work on this, how it got into our foods. Well, at any rate, we still feel that that's very important information that you have this. You know, I had a lot of severe heart problems after eating a well-known chocolate sherbet type thing that did not have sugar in it. But we know it might have had a little sugar. I take that back. I don't think it said it was sugar-free, but we knew it was very low in carbs, and it had a bitter taste, and it did say natural flavor. So we will never eat that again. So here's the headline for December 30th from Natural News, Ethan Huff. Science finally admits that artificial sweeteners can cause sudden death, but only to deflect from COVID jabs. Now, what we think here, listeners, you're getting two truths. It is possible that this was put out now so that the deaths of all those athletes dropping dead, that would be minimized with this new story, you know, the Hegelian confusion, where they want you to hear something different that's going to take your mind away from the other. But this something different is important, too, for you to know. The British Medical Journal published a study recently that links consumption of artificial sweeteners like aspartame, sweet and low, and sucralose, Splenda, to cardiovascular disease. A curiously timed, endeavor, French researchers decided to take a closer look at these sweeteners in the context of heart disease, right as millions of people, quote, fully vaccinated for COVID are suffering heart effects, and in some cases, sudden death. Up until now, the medical establishment had stubbornly insisted that fake sweeteners are perfectly safe for human consumption. All concerns to the contrary were dubbed as conspiracy theories. That is, until COVID jabs started killing people and a cover story was needed. It appears as though some elements of, quote, science are now attempting to peg all of this excess heart damage and sudden death among the fully jabbed on artificial sweetener consumption, which is suddenly on the radar as a health threat after decades of denial. For their research, this new study's authors looked at 103,388 participants in the web-based NutriNet Sante cohort. All across the board, they found that artificial sweetener consumption is associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular conditions, such as a coronary heart disease problem and cerebrovascular disease. The findings from the large-scale prospective cohort study suggest a potential direct association between higher artificial sweetener consumption, especially aspartame, and another one is listed, asulfame, potassium, and sucralose, and increased cardiovascular disease. That is what the paper concluded. Artificial sweeteners are present in thousands of food and beverage brands worldwide. However, they remain a controversial topic and are currently being reevaluated by the European Food Safety Authority, the World Health Organization, and other health agencies. And, of course, this article there by Ethan Huff has an interior headline that says, artificial sweeteners are dangerous, but so are COVID injections. While it is certainly true that fake sweeteners are destructive to health, the timing of the study's publishing is a prominent, widely respected medical journal in a journal is suspect. Why, all of a sudden, are the dangers of artificial sweeteners being thrust to the forefront of the public health conversation? The natural health community was mocked or ignored for pointing out their dangers previously, but the narrative appears to have shifted now that distractions are needed for COVID jabs.
We're just past the season of Santa. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. And if you haven't been, maybe Amazon's iRobot will let him know. The title of this is Amazon's iRobot Roomba Vacuums Caught Spying on Users, Taking Photos of Them on the Toilet and Posting to Social Media. This is also by Ethan Huff, Thursday, December 29th. MIT Technology Review published a report recently addressing the fact that Amazon's iRobot Roomba vacuums are actually secret spy devices that map out users' homes and even take private photos of their families without their knowledge or permission. As these robot vacuums scour people's homes in search of crumbs and pet fur, they are also secretly snapping pictures of users on their toilets. It has been revealed.
Oh, Lou, when you were standing in the hallway there holding that Christmas wreath and I snapped your picture, I want you to know that I had carefully checked that there were none of these robot apparati in our home.
But I just had a bad thought.
What?
We were probably within view of our TV set, which is probably also a spy.
Oh, yes, actually, it probably is.
Yeah.
We know the microphones have been built into that for some time.
That's true.
All right, but go ahead. Just recap that last sentence.
Yes. As these robot vacuums scour people's homes in search of crumbs and pet fur, they are also secretly snapping pictures of users on their toilets. It's been revealed. In some cases, those photos, disturbingly, have ended up mysteriously appearing on social media platforms like Facebook and Discord. Eileen Guo, the article's author, says she investigated the origins of 15 video stills that were captured inside homes by robot vacuums and shared to social media. Some of them, she discovered, feature humans, quote, in very candid positions. Faces clearly visible.
You know, maybe Satan did a little sabotage in our home. You know, there was another thing that happened. Our power went out suddenly one day, and I was in the dining room with our aging vacuum, and when the power went out, it was as if it killed the motor, and it smelled really hot, like electrical hot. So, of course, we didn't use it again, and then we tried another time at a later point in our cleanup efforts, and we could smell this again. So we think that the days are numbered for this aging vacuum cleaner. But, you know, maybe Satan wanted you, Lou, to get the idea. You love gimmicks. You love toys. Maybe he wanted you to get the iRobot for us.
Yeah, it's one of those neat little robot vacuums that looks like, I don't know, like a flying saucer skimming across your floor.
Uh-oh, you're falling for it. I can hear the fascination in your voice.
It's there, all right. I want one.
You'd better read that sentence again about snapping pics of people on the commode. That ought to cure you.
Yes, that's right. But Ms. Guo also writes, quote, the images were not taken by a person, but by development versions of iRobot's Roomba J7 series vacuum cleaner. They were then sent to Scale AI, a startup that contracts workers around the world to label audio, photo, and video data used to train artificial intelligence. They were the sorts of scenes that internet-connected devices regularly capture and send back to the cloud, though usually with stricter storage and access controls. Yet earlier this year, MIT Technology Review obtained 15 screenshots of these private photos, which have been posted to closed social media groups, unquote. And that was all Ms. Guo's statement. And it says this related article, Amazon purchased iRobot, and its Roomba vacuum specifically for the purpose of invading people's privacy. So if you go to this particular essay, which again was on Natural News by Ethan Huff, December 29th. You could also link to that article. And the sub-headline, are actual human employees at Amazon's many spy companies watching users on their toilets? The 15 images that Guo obtained and analyzed are just a drop in the bucket of the more than 2 million, yes, that's right, 2 million images that have been captured by iRobot Roombas and stored by Scale AI. And those millions of images are just a fraction of the many additional millions that are being captured by other similar in-home spy devices. Between Alexa speakers, Ring doorbells, and now iRobot Roombas, Amazon really is expanding its technological portfolio for the obvious purpose of capturing every last detail of people's private lives. Amazon has become the world's creepiest and most invasive peeping Tom, in other words. And here we have another quote. It's not just a robot vacuum watching you on the toilet. A person may be looking too, tweeted Carissa Valise, an author and professor at the University of Oxford. As news continues to spread about iRobot Roombas spying on users in their most private moments, company CEO Colin Angle told MIT Technology Review that it is, quote, terminating its relationship with the service provider who leaked the images, unquote. Angle added that his company is, quote, actively investigating the matter and taking measures to help prevent a similar leak by any service provider in the future, unquote. And I'll interject. This is Lou speaking. I notice it's curious that he doesn't say they're going to stop taking the pictures, just they're not going to share it with that other company. Back to the article. In the comments, someone pointed out that it is not just Amazon that is watching people in their most private moments. All so-called smart devices, this person explained, are spy devices in some capacity. Another added, also, this is in quotes, also there are TVs with cameras and even smartphones can be used for spying on their owners. Maybe someone could make a career out of removing these intrusive features from cars and appliances. Maybe even remove the control freak thermostat limits on air conditioners and heaters. Another wrote that none of this would have ever been possible were it not for the fact that people today, quote, are so unbelievably lazy, trusting, and stupid, unquote. I would laugh, this person added, but it's concerning more than anything. Compromising files on everyone, that's the goal, wrote another about the ever-expanding Internet of Things that is taking over the world. The latest news about Amazon can be found at evil.news.
And let's remember what Aaron Rousseau reported his one-time friend Nick Rockefeller told him, that the ultimate goal is to get a brain chip into every human being on the planet.
That's right. Now, some more evil uncovered, this one from National File. U.S. Virgin Islands sue J.P. Morgan Chase for facilitation of Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking network. And the subheadline, the lawsuit demands a trial by jury and asserts that J.P. Morgan Chase Bank violated the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, the Virgin Islands Criminally Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, CICO, the Virgin Islands Consumer Fraud and Deceptive Business Practices Act. This is by Addison Berserto, December 29, 2022. The government of the U.S. Virgin Islands filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York on Tuesday against J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, which seeks damages for the violation of sex trafficking and financial laws, quote, in an amount to be determined at trial, unquote. And the U.S. Virgin Islands said, quote, the Attorney General brings this action after presenting her findings to J.P. Morgan in September 2022. In her ongoing effort to protect public safety and to hold accountable those who facilitated or participated in, directly or indirectly, the trafficking enterprise Epstein helmed. The investigation, and this is a continuation of the quote, the investigation revealed that J.P. Morgan knowingly, negligently, and unlawfully provided and pulled the levers through which recruiters and victims were paid and was indispensable to the operation and concealment of the Epstein trafficking enterprise, unquote, the lawsuit stated. The lawsuit further alleges that J.P. Morgan had, quote, wire and cash transactions that raised suspicion of a criminal enterprise whose currency was the sexual servitude of victims in the Virgin Islands, unquote.
And next, Lou, from the Gateway Pundit, we have this headline, and it's by Christina Layla, published December 30th. Texas father provides heartbreaking update to transgender custody battle against ex-wife working to, quote, transition son James into girl named Luna. This is a heartbreaking update. A Dallas judge in 2020 issued an order allowing Ann Jurgulis power over her son James Younger's medical decisions. He was 8 years old at the time. As previously reported, the mother of James Younger wanted to start the boy on puberty blockers and eventually cross-sex hormones. The boy's father, Jeffrey Younger, vowed to keep fighting to protect his son after a jury in 2019 ruled against him in his court case to save his son James from gender, quote, transition. The crazed mother, Dr. Ann Jurgulis, was to continue the chemical castration of their son to transition James Younger into, quote, Luna. Dr. Jurgulis actually admitted in court that she is not the biological mother of James and his twin brother, Jude. She used in vitro fertilization with a donor egg. Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced last fall that the Texas Attorney General's Office and the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services were looking into the horrific case involving James Younger and his abusive mother, who is working to castrate her son. A video of James Younger when he was only 3 years old surfaced, revealing that his mother put dresses on him and painted his fingernails when the child was just an infant. The abuse from the mother all started because James liked a toy from the movie Frozen meant for little girls. It is totally normal for little boys to play with girls' toys. It does not mean they want to be castrated and transition into a girl. When asked if he was a boy or a girl, James, then only 3 years old, answered girl. He said his mom told him he's a girl. Jeffrey Younger was forced to pay his ex-wife $5,000 a month to pay for his son's transition and counseling, in addition to a $10,000 retainer required by the counselor. Lou, if we could go back to the colonial days, and we could tell someone what America would be like, that this could happen, they would laugh at us, or they would say we're crazy, we're lunatics, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes. They would think we were just totally lost our minds, that we were talking about things that could never possibly happen.
No, not here in a free country like this. Well, back to the article, Jeffrey Younger provided an update on his twin sons Friday evening. Quote, the Supreme Court of Texas denied my mandamus, effectively terminating my parental rights. My children are now subject to being chemically castrated in California. Texas is an empire of child abuse led by Texas judges, Jeffrey Younger said. The distraught father aired his grievances. Lou, we have to say, where is Governor Abbott?
That's a good question.
Where is Governor Abbott? This case is just about too horrific to bear. Let us, listeners, pray for Jeffrey Younger and his sons, especially James. Pray for Satan to be crushed and this abomination to be stopped.
Some glimmers of truth emerging about the COVID vaccine bioweapon. DeSantis says COVID jabs being used by, quote, globalist elites to depopulate the planet, unquote. This was from Natural News, December 16th, 2022, by Ethan Huff. In an appearance on Fox News' The Ingram Angle, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis warned that one of the goals of mass jabbing the planet for COVID is to, quote, depopulate it, unquote. In seeking accountability for criminal vaccine manufacturers and government officials who pushed their shots, DeSantis suggested that global elites concocted these abominations as part of a worldwide genocide effort.
Listen, Lou, we have to say this is limited success and a little bit late, but my word, DeSantis has certainly gone farther than Donald Trump ever thought of going in accepting the truth and telling us the truth, isn't it?
It is. He wasn't afraid to say it.
Yes. Yeah, so pray for him. Pray that God will keep him from being compromised and cowardly. Pray that if God has a plan for him to do something good for America and Christians and conservatives, that he will do it and he will remain steadfast. Pick up that story.
Yes, other countries have already pulled these injections from the market due to what has been uncovered. But here in the United States, they are not only still available, but also being pushed by the establishment. Next, from the Gateway Pundit, Salen says, government weaponized public health disease is used to control populations like tear gas is used to control crowds. This was by Joe Hoff, December 31st. Government weaponized public health disease used to control populations is like tear gas used to control crowds. Guest post by Lawrence Salen. U.S. government officials and scientists assisted China to create the COVID-19 virus in a lab, causing a global pandemic, and then they tried to cover up their involvement. Government officials nationwide used the pandemic to assume dictatorial powers, impose lockdowns, deny individual rights guaranteed under the Constitution, and rig elections. In complicity with the pharmaceutical industry, U.S. public health institutions lied about the safety and efficacy of COVID-19 vaccines, and either directly or indirectly enforced unethical and dangerous vaccination mandates, while suppressing the use of early intervention therapeutics. In a subheadline, all of the above caused over a million unnecessary American deaths, and we are still counting. And famous rapper and actor Ice Cube says hell no to the deadly COVID jab, and foregoes $9 million payday for upcoming role offered by Sony Films. December 12, 2022, by S.D. Wells. Coincidentally, a new movie called Oh Hell No, featuring Jack Black, will not be featuring rapper Ice Cube, because Hollywood is trying to blackmail him into getting a deadly COVID clot shot in order to get the $9 million role. Cube basically said, oh, hell no, on the Million Dollar Worth of Game podcast afterwards when he denounced Hollywood's ploy, saying, F the lab and F you all for trying to make me get it. Maybe Ice Cube has witnessed a tsunami of vaccine-induced injuries and vaccine-induced deaths that are wiping out millions of lives across the globe. Ice Cube confirmed that he declined the $9 million comedy movie role. And he says, so you know, I don't know how Hollywood feels about me right now, unquote. During that same podcast, the other guest suggests that it's not just Hollywood that's pressuring him, and that maybe he could get some other gigs to replace that through streaming television entertainment. But Cube quickly pointed out to them that it's still Hollywood, and insinuated they will continue to ostracize him for his decision to not take the risk of the Fauci flu clot shot and gene mutation therapy injection that kills more people than opioid overdose and gun violence combined. And the subheadline, all cast members must be injected with millions of toxic spike prions to participate in Hollywood comedy production in Hawaii. Although the COVID so-called vaccines put the injected sheep at a much higher risk of dying from COVID and from the clot shot itself, Hollywood says get the injection or lose your connection to the high-paying acting world. Ice Cube's real name is O'Shea Jackson. His net worth is quickly approaching $200 million. He is one of the original gangster rappers, OGs, who was a key member of NWA dating all the way back to 1988. His acting career began in the early 1990s, and he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2016. Cube starred in Boys in the Hood in 1991 and the hit comedy Friday. Now, due to Ice Cube remaining fully unvaccinated for the gain-of-function flu, he may have to find acting work on the independent film circuit or simply direct and produce his own films or TV series. Then again, who will carry it, since most of the streaming services have gone completely woke? That includes Disney and Netflix, for sure. Will Ice Cube now be banned from all social media platforms, except from the newly owned Twitter, for standing up for medical rights in this country? Will Fakebook say he violated community guidelines, that's in quotes, violated community guidelines for not getting his entire vascular system filled with floating sticky protein prions that cause myocarditis, strokes, and cancer. Maybe Ice Cube should produce direct and, as is to say, maybe Ice Cube should produce, direct, and star in a movie called No Jabs for OGs, or Jabs in the Hood. And he could have woke celebrities chasing him around Los Angeles with syringes and machine guns.
Amazing story, Lou. Then we have from the Gateway Pundit, second ABC News producer dies suddenly by undisclosed causes, by Jim Hoft, December 31st. Another producer for ABC 10 News in San Diego, California, died suddenly last week by undisclosed causes. Erica Gonzalez, one of ABC's talented morning show producers, passed away fast last week. As some of you had heard, our dear family member Erica has gained her angel wings unexpectedly, according to her fundraising campaign. Quote, our family is hurting and in disbelief. We are currently in the process of bringing her home from San Diego to El Paso, Texas, it reads. The cause of her death was not disclosed by ABC 10 News or her family. ABC 10 News released a tribute following her sudden death. The ABC 10 News team has lost an important member of our family. Erica Gonzalez, one of our talented morning show producers, passed away overnight. Gonzalez was a creative and passionate person who not only served our viewers, but her country as well. When the United States was reeling from the tragedy of 9/11, Erica was compelled to join the Marine Corps. She served proudly for 8 years. As the old mantra goes, once a Marine, always a Marine. Erica was behind the coverage of many ABC 10 News military stories that aired in 2022. Erica attended Grossmont College and graduated from San Diego State. Most early mornings in the newsroom, you'd find her typing away with her Aztec hat on. Years before becoming a full-time producer, Erica interned with Team 10, our station's investigative unit. News was in her blood, and after spending some time producing in her hometown of El Paso, Texas, she couldn't wait to get back to San Diego earlier this year. A friend to many, Erica's dry sense of humor made the news team laugh in the early morning hours and will forever stay with those who loved and cared about her. Tragically, Erica Gonzalez joins Dax Tejera as one of ABC's two producers to pass away in the past week, due to unexpected causes. Tejera was the executive producer of the ABC News Sunday Public Affairs show This Week with George Stephanopoulos. He died unexpectedly of a heart attack on Friday, December 23rd, according to a statement sent out to employees on Saturday by ABC News President Kim Godwin. And this is Elizabeth. Here's the latest from our local newspaper here in Maryland, December 28th, Ryan, and of course we don't give the last name, Ryan, 51, died suddenly on December 20th, 2022. And he graduated from high school and then he spent his career in the retail grocery field.
Sad to hear of another local man, only 51, died suddenly. Maybe sometimes the universe meets out a strange justice. Here from the Gateway Pundit, family doctor who faced backlash for vaccinating children and causing adverse reactions dies suddenly. This is by Jim Hoft, again, Gateway Pundit, December 31st. An Australian family doctor who got death threats from anti-vaxxers during the pandemic after two children experienced adverse reactions to the COVID shot has died suddenly. Hong Kong-born Dr. Wilson Chin, who studied medicine in Britain for 14 years and ran an under-12 COVID vaccination clinic on the Gold Coast, died just days before Christmas, Daily Mail reported. The death of Dr. Chin was confirmed by Pacific Pines Med Center's director, Dion Raju. In an interview with the Gold Coast Bulletin, he stated that medical issues and not mental health related was the cause of death. Earlier this year, Dr. Chin made headlines after he broke down in tears in a video revealing he had received death threats from anti-vaxxers following a rumor that two girls who fainted after treatment at Pacific Pines metasomatous, had actually died. According to Dr. Chin, it was just a normal occurrence of fainting that had nothing to do with the vaccine.
Is that the end of that article?
No, there's a little bit more.
Oh, yes, we want to hear more.
The Hong Kong-born doctor, in an earlier interview with local channels, broke down in tears while describing the abuse he had received shortly after the rumor spread. The rumor claimed that the two girls at his clinic on the Gold Coast collapsed and began to scream and then later died. Dr. Chin had then, during an interview with a local news channel, stated that the case was unrelated to the vaccine and it was a simple fainting episode. But after this episode, the center became a major target of abuse, which forced them to immediately halt the vaccine program for children under 12. Chin eventually made a statement on the local news channel that said, quote, "The death threats and threats from those out there are not worth us jeopardizing the safety of our staff," unquote. According to a statement by the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, Dr. Chin received abuse and threats that claimed the vaccine center was, quote, "poisoning kids," unquote, and also that the doctor was a kid killer.
And if you would like to keep a program like this on the air, we would like respectfully to ask for your help as listeners. Never take away from your family what you need for your family to prepare. But some of you tithe, some of you give when you can, and we deeply appreciate your help to us because we still have debts. We have about five loans, that have not finished yet. So we still have about $16,000 of credit card debt, too. So we carried the ball alone for many years, and now many of you have stepped up to the plate, and we love your letters of encouragement. So if you'd like to help us, you can put whatever you can into an envelope to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital BETHLEHEM, Maryland. The zip is 216-09. Again, that's Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We hope that you will all have a happy, blessed new year by our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Good night.